You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com.
Talk a little basketball with Paul Servin, the Basketball Hour on TSN 1260. Well, Paul, the basketball community, I think, across the country is still celebrating the Canadian U19 Boys World Championships. And just, you know, hopefully a sign of things to come. Obviously, you can never guarantee to win that every year. But definitely with that young group, they look like maybe Canada to now can be a team that competes for a medal for the next few years.
A few years ago, Jason, Mike Krzyzewski said, watch the podium in 2020 because Canada may very well be there. And I think the U19 win certainly is an indicator of the level of talent in the country. And, to have the best player on the team be a 17-year-old whose college choices, his college finalists are Duke and Kentucky and RJ Barrett, it certainly is a good indicator of great things that could come in the future.
Well, Paul, how long does it take, though, for that to translate from that U19 into now, the senior teams? Can it translate that quickly in a couple of years?
Well, I don't think so. The key, Jason, for 2020 for Canada is, can they get the NBA players to participate and to go all in? That will be the challenge, because if they do, they have a chance talent-wise to compete with some of the best teams in the world. If they don't, it's going to be tough, because as you say, Jason, and you know this from World Juniors and hockey, the success at the younger levels does not necessarily automatically put you in amongst the elite at the senior level. So a couple of the players, RJ Barrett being one, I think we all have every reason to think he's going to be very successful for a long, long time to come. Whether the other players are not developed to that level, that remains to be seen. And, of course, it depends on who steps to the table for Canada in the future.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to look at Barrett. And I'd read stories about him. I'd seen video. I'd never watched him play a complete game. And I don't want to compare the player, because obviously right now he's the best player in the game in LeBron James. But the one thing I see in Barrett is he's got that physical stature. You know, when he comes out of college, and if it's only 1 year, if they change the rule to two by then, who knows? But he will physically, he's more physically advanced already than a guy like Andrew Wiggins. Not a shot on Wiggins. It's just when you have those physical gifts, it gives him a distinct advantage. Obviously, he has the work ethic to go with it and the natural skills, but do you see that body type in him that maybe separates him from a lot of other players?
I think so, Jason. He's not he doesn't have the thickness that LeBron has, but to your point, he's got the length, and he's very, very strong for his age. He's 6'6", maybe 6'7", but he has a 6'10", 6'11" wingspan, and he's a superb passer. So I think your comparison to James, and you don't want to overstate it, but I would say it's a fair comparison. The weakness in his game right now is he doesn't shoot the three that well. So he's going to have to improve on that. To this point, he's been physically, and I would go so far as to say basketball IQ-wise, he's been superior to any player on any team that he's been on so far. But I think he has the total package skill set, and that's where I think the comparison to LeBron is fair. Like LeBron, he's going to come out physically more prepared and more ready than most players are. And his understanding of the game and his ability to play the game at a high speed is already there. So I think RJ Barrett has a brilliant, brilliant future.
I'm guessing that he'd only played 1 year in college, but if you were, his father and his agent and his best friend all wrapped in one, is there one college you'd pick? I mean, both Duke and Kentucky are wildly successful programs, but is there one you think it might fit him better to get him ready for what will be an NBA debut in, 14 months?
I would go with Duke myself, Jason. I think that's a good and fair question. One of the things that people have analyzed, and this was from Butch Carter, is they looked at the impact of Kentucky basketball players in the NBA. And for as many players that have been lottery picks and are in the NBA today from Kentucky, the cumulative average of the players from Kentucky who in the NBA making their teams better is actually quite low, where with Duke it's quite high. I like the way Krzyzewski coaches more than I like the way Calipari coaches. Krzyzewski will let Barrett's talents flow completely, where at Kentucky he's going to have so many other, especially at the guard position, McDonald's All-Americans around him. I think he's going to have a harder time in the Kentucky system because Calipari still runs a lot of sets and actions where I think Krzyzewski is more wide open, more screen and roll. That I think is a better match for the NBA. So that would certainly be my choice if I were in their shoes. Obviously, I'm not. Roland Barrett, RJ's father, was a very high-level player for many, many years. RJ's godfather is Steve Nash. So he's going to have good advisors all around him, and I think he'll probably make a very, very good choice.
And I think that's a great comment because I'm actually a Kentucky fan. You know, I actually played hockey there so for 2 years, so I know it pretty well. And they've always had good players. And you're right, they always have high draft picks. And, you know, I've followed some of them like, okay. And then it really never leads to the stardom you might have thought that you saw in college. Whereas you're right, with Duke, you do see that more often. So really interesting conversation on how much that would play into his head. Moving along, and with his dad's experience, I'm sure it even plays a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you look at Jamal Murray, who was in the top 10 in a draft pick last year, was second all rookie team in the NBA this year. I think Jamal Murray is going to be a nice NBA player. I don't think anybody thinks right now he's going to be a star, but just a nice player. RJ Barrett, at this point, I think is going to be a star. And the mention of Andrew Wiggins before, he certainly comes out of high school with a much more developed game at this point in his young career than where Wiggins was. And honestly, where Wiggins still is. Wiggins is just such a great athlete. But I was just down in Minneapolis, and it's not that people are getting impatient with Wiggins, but they're waiting for him to be a total player as opposed to just a scorer. And they have been highly critical of Wiggins on the defensive and rebounding side. And now with some of the talent that the Wolves have brought in, the pressure is going to switch now onto Wiggins to actually deliver because they have more, I guess, player assets than they've had in the past. So it'll be interesting to see, is RJ the total package on both ends of the ball or is he an offensive phenom? But so far, he's been nothing but great.
Paul Sir joins us from the Basketball Hour on TSN 1260. Paul, the 3-on-3 just went in Saskatoon, and 3-on-3 now is massive, of course, because it's going to be an Olympic event, and you got a lot of Canadian teams, like they're gearing up for this. This will be huge for Canada. What do you make of that? Where does Canada have to go? And does anybody know like what's the stipulations? Are NBA players going to be involved in the 3-on-3 at the Olympic level? How's it going to work?
We really don't know. I think it's a moving target right now, Jason, because now that the announcement's been made, I think FIBA, it's not that they've been caught off guard, but now they've got to go into planning mode. A number of NBA players have commented that they're interested in learning about the 3-on-3 game. And I don't think there's a broad awareness of how different the FIBA 3-on-3 game is from traditional 3-on-3 basketball. So it's going to be an education process. My guess is you're going to see higher and higher level players getting involved in this particular game, once they understand the rules of play, because it is quite different. It's very fast paced. It's a tremendous emphasis on shooting. It's very physical. Last weekend at West Edmonton Mall, when they had the Canadian National Championships, and the people that I've discussed it with, they were all surprised at how physical and rough the game is. But you've got to be able to shoot the ball. It really is a high skill level style of play. And once people start talking about gold medals in the Olympics, I think you're going to see some high-profile names stepping up. But the way that teams qualify is going to be the interesting X factor in whether or not present-day NBA players can participate. Because my guess is we're going to see 3-on-3 leagues start popping up around the world and qualifiers similar to what they have in FIBA for the Olympics in the traditional game of basketball. Those are all going to factor in. So I think a lot of interest is being sparked in the game, but a lot of decisions are yet to be made.
Do you think Canada will have a 3-on-3 league of their own right away?
The problem Canada has is we don't even have a 5-on-5 you know, coast-to-coast league right now, which is something that I believe over the next few years has to be addressed. We're the only basketball nation literally in the world that does not have a developed 5-on-5 game. So maybe the 3-on-3 leagues will pop up sooner. I just think because of our geographic, our vast geographic expanse, it makes it difficult to put together a league coast to coast, but perhaps we'll see a Western Canadian 3-on-3 league. Lots of things are being kicked around now, Jason. What I do know, though, is that 3-on-3 is positioned for rapid growth. And with that growth, I know there'll be some bumps in the road as people try to figure it out.
Paul, what's coming up? You guys are off for the summer, so enjoy some time off. And then 2 hours show. When are you guys getting back on it? September?
Yeah, we'll get back on in September, Jason. We're going to do a couple of podcasts this summer. There's been so much happening in the NBA. The Raptors have gone through some radical reshaping over the last couple of weeks, which I think is very, very exciting. So we'll do a couple of podcasts to get more in depth about that. And I'm heading over to Saskatoon to watch the 3-on-3 world qualifier this weekend. So really looking forward to that.